Chris Cole?
Just based on, I saw one of the comments that we got from Chip's things we got, and there was, I was concerned, and it kind of triggered something. It was about the discretionary funding and stuff like that, and the lack of guidelines and things like that. But and just today, we talked about some transportation and stuff, and there are new guidelines. So I would love to see if we maybe Susie.
We do have guidelines.
Well, I'm what
policy.
What I'm concerned about is just that there's a lack of consistency. You know, a large group can get X amount of dollars, a single individual can get X amount of dollars, and sometimes, you know, if there's no rhyme or reason why one gets one and what gets the other. So maybe a suggestion on dealing with some basic guidelines on giving for transportation costs and maybe some other categories that we could bring some consistency to the way we dole out taxpayers' dollars.
I'd like to see all these grants in the budget and just
forget
these individual accounts.
In 2009, a grant policy was adopted, and I believe the issue with the guidelines from agency to agency, my impression was the flexibility, depending on the need, if you know what I mean. Some organizations are smaller than others.
Right, but we're not getting into that kind of detail as we see these requests and stuff. So anyway, it just highlighted because we had an individual. Joan gave $500 for one individual. Then I think Mike and somebody gave $300 to a whole team. So it just seems that we ought to be looking at something that, again, has some consistency in it.
I guess traditionally it's been believed that the council members have the best sense of the organizations within their district and that it's left to their discretion as much as possible. And if they're distributing it irresponsibly, they're going to have to answer to their constituents during their reelection process. Now, I don't think there's a problem with guidelines. I think, though, they shouldn't be so rigid as to limit the council members' discretion.
Well, the only problem is, you may know what's going on in your district. It takes four other people to support that, and it's a council gift. It doesn't really come from that one council man or person or individual. So again, I would just think it might look better, might be a better way to do it if we get to maybe not to exceed certain categories and certain levels, or just I think we might want to look at it. Just a suggestion. I think that
is that something, Mrs. Webb, you could work on some kind of a guideline?
I could.
With the assistance of Mr. Cole?
I'd be glad to help her.
I know what Mr. Phillips is talking about. The umbrella, sort of, has been set as to what the nonprofit, the Sussex County, and all these organizations are required to send to council members a letter addressing their event and what they would like their grant to be. So, therefore, the detail would be in the letter, but we certainly, I could think for a little bit and see what kind of guidelines that might help
if you could do that,
the council to make decisions.
Sure. Thank you very much.
I can see Vance's side. I see George. You're both right. We both need to, especially if we all vote on one grant.
Sure.
It comes out every one of our own discretion funds.
It comes out of the taxpayers.
Well, it actually isn't our money. You're exactly right.
And I do know we rarely give the amount requested in a letter because oftentimes it's set at a level so high that it would be illogical to give that amount. And usually council comes in with something that is affordable to their community grant allocation each year.
Well, maybe, Mr. Vincent, we could just maybe have you come up and tell us what we're, you know, have it on the agenda, tell us how we're doing it today, and then we'll all hear it. And if we all think it needs improvement, we'll make some suggestions. So why don't we put that, have it an agenda item.
Mr.
So
Cole,
it's been a long time since we've discussed it in public.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any comments today before the folks come before us like you did last week?
You enjoyed that so much you want to hear me every week?
I'll tell you what.
Words of wisdom?
No. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say is I did hear a lot of comments came back to me that heard it outside of this room. It was on internet or wherever they got it from. Kept saying that was very interesting and very informative, the information you put out. So I thought, well.
We have had, because of the way we operate, it's difficult for us to give a point of view. I'd welcome any one of us to sit here, and we have an opportunity before people speak, so as if it doesn't appear that we're responding. So I like I said, I've had some concerns about what's been going on and the thing. And again, as a...
Let's
talk about what happened last week.
I had more to say about the grant.
Oh, well, go ahead.
I would submit this. Girl Scout was one of 10 that was in an international destination trip. And this is this is not an ordinary trip. This is very, very big event in Girl Scouts. I can submit this letter for the record and give you my reasons because it was absolutely appropriate.
And that's a good example of how a council member, if questioned by other members about the grant that they're going to make from their fund, would be asked to elaborate. So if Mr. Cole, there was a grant that I was making and you were uncomfortable with it, you should ask me and I could maybe explain why I'm giving that amount. And if you don't think that's appropriate, you're able to vote against it.
Right, but I just think the perception is, Vance, that if somebody asks us what kind of guidelines we have, I don't have anything I can show them. I don't know if Todd has anything to show them, and I don't know if Sue has something we can hand out and show them what our guidelines are. I think we ought to have some guidelines as we hand that money.
Moving along here, right, Mr. Webb, work on that, please. When you're ready, we'll put it on the agenda.
I will, thank you.
Thank you. First, Robert Davis. Robert Davis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Robert Davis. I'm from Captain's Grant. We were here last council meeting, and we asked for help. And I think Mr. Vincent talked to Mr. Izzo after, and about the sewer systems. They're closing up shop over there, and a lot of the work is not done on our community. I myself ended up talking to the contractor first, and he says he will not fix a problem we have. Go to Izzo, and Izzo says it's already been fixed. Well, it wasn't fixed. The last storm we had on Saturday, a week ago, it flooded my girlfriend's front lawn again because the swales were not fixed. The connecting pipe going into the property was a big hump. And I have pictures of it flooding, showing where it's flooding into. And this is what we get from Mr. Izzo. And there's all kinds of property stuff that have not been done. They said they have a sign-up sheet. What is a sign-up sheet when the whole place was torn up? They should have started from one end to the other and fixed the problems, but they didn't. What I'm asking, my neighbors are asking, that you council members come down to our properties and see what has been done. I can sit here and start naming stuff on and on and on, but we are tired of it all. We have a life that we want to get back to. Izzo is giving me saying it's been fixed. He's actually calling me a liar. You know, I don't need this from him. I just want to get the problems fixed. My neighbors are the same way. So we would like to see you council members come down and see what there is. See where the manholes are filled in. Because nothing's done right.
Todd, is there a way that
you can... Mr. Lawson, will you take care of following through with this?
I can follow up, yes.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Martin Van Ness the third.
I don't know what it looked like before. I don't know what it looks right now.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Bartow Van Ness. I'm a resident of Deal Island, Somerset County. I'm a member of the Maryland Sheriff's Association. And I just wanted to say this, that the importance of the county sheriff, he has more power in the county than any federal law enforcement agency in the country. He can control them if they come in and abuse federal power. I would like to say this, that we today, gentlemen and ladies, are living in a police state. Due to 9/11, we have, unfortunately, the Patriot Act, which has stripped us of our liberties. I don't know whether you know about the National Defense Authorization Act, where the military can now come in your and my homes without a search warrant, take us out, detain us indefinitely with no legal counsel whatsoever. They can do this. Now, the sheriff is the bulwark against such things as this going on. And I'd like to give you five instances that's happened across the country where there's been abuse of federal power, where the sheriff could have stopped this. Number one is Boundary County, Idaho. Ruby Ridge, you all probably have heard of Ruby Ridge. Well, let me tell you, Randy Weaver was set up on a fake charge. They surrounded him. They killed his wife, his daughter, his dog, and a federal marshal was killed. If the sheriff of that county had exercised his due powers, this could have been stopped. McLean County in Texas, Waco, you know about the slaughter at Waco. The sheriff, again, could have stopped this. He knew Koresh. He said he was giving him no problems whatsoever, but he let the federal government come in, and in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, federal troops came in, and they slaughtered people. Matter of fact, people were running out of the buildings, and they had set up machine guns and killed the people. I think it was 86 altogether. Stutzman County, North Dakota, Medina. You may not have heard this. Gordon Call, he was a federal fugitive. He was a tax protester. He was a good man, basically. The federal government said they were going to kill him. But as a result, because the sheriff did not do anything, there were two federal marshals killed. Two young men, innocent, are still in jail, and they were set up and framed for second-degree murder. They never fired a gun. Gordon Call fled to Arkansas. A sheriff there was killed. Gordon Call was shot in the back by the federal government. They took his body, cut dismembered part of his body, and burned it. The sheriff could have stopped this. We go then to Sullivan County in New Hampshire, where a dentist and his wife were protesting income taxes. They wrote certified letters to the IRS saying, we will be happy to pay taxes if you will tell us, show us the law. There is no law to file an income tax. Now, I'm not saying don't do it. Do file, please, because we'd all be in. But there is no law to, and they got no answers. They sent several letters. They were barricaded in their house. The sheriff would not stop the feds, and these people were taken. One of them is serving a life in prison right now. We have Bonner County, Idaho, where Edgar Steele, he's an attorney who was speaking out against the federal government and also about corruption in some of the judicial system. And they set him up on a fake bomb plot charge, accusing him of trying to kill his wife. They would not allow him to present certain evidence. He was found guilty. He is now serving a life sentence.
Sir, if you could kind of close up. We allow 3 minutes.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's fine. If you can just kind of.
Yes, I am. It's going to be short and quick now. I just think, gentlemen, I don't think you want this kind of thing going on in Sussex County, because it could happen here or any county in the United States. And I just wanted to bring this to your attention. I thank you all for your time, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Eric Budenwasser.
I'm wearing a red shirt today, and I don't have a hat with me. I listened to that controversial tape, and it was obvious to me right from the start when I heard that tape that the word that was used was hat, okay? And I'm glad you guys are able to make light of some of the things that occur here. I really am. And the microphones are pretty sensitive. We just got to make sure we realize that. And I can't imagine how hard your jobs must be, and all of you will always have my utmost respect. I got here in my hands a memo that says secret Schwarzkopf memo attacks Sheriff Christopher. I don't know, I guess you guys are aware they had some fancy phone conversation last night. Well, the liberals got together and had a little talk about what they're going to do next to our sheriff. And I tried to get in on the conversation, but I was excluded from it. It was apparently a phone town hall thing that Representative Schwarzkopf put together, And my guess is the conversation centered on whether or not it is politically expedient for the liberals to pass this bill and then blame you for it. And I'm asking you today to take a strong stand that distances yourselves as far away from the reintroduction of this bill as possible, in order that the blame be placed exactly where it belongs if and when it does pass. We know the wrong party's in charge right now, and the blame should go on them if they want to reintroduce it and pass it, because they can pass it if they want to. Those are the people that are constantly trampling on our Constitution and constantly trampling on the rights of our people. Let it be on their heads. I'd like you to distance yourself from the bill. This man, Pete Schwarzkopf, is still the focus of evil in Sussex County. Please don't climb back into bed with him. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Entertain a motion to go into executive session for personnel.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're now going to executive session.